The tradition of the 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM, this is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, WMIE.
Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, Is the Holy Spirit as Active Today as at Pentecost?
Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ, and from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, today is Pentecost, and today we're celebrating the outpouring of the Holy Spirit from on high, from God the Father and Jesus on his throne. He sent forth the Holy Spirit upon the apostles to inspire and empower them to preach Jesus Christ, to work miracles, to do many signs and wonders, and to save many. And today, I'd like to take a look with you, especially at the Holy Spirit, with this question. Is the Holy Spirit, do you think, as active today as he was back then on the day of Pentecost? Is he as mightily working in the world and in your lives today as he did back then? Because if you think about it, theologically, we all know the right answer to that one. But experientially, sometimes we are at least tempted to think, well, that was a great day back there. That was a spectacular, one-time, forever great event, Pentecost, when he worked mightily in those days. But now he's sort of like he's come in like a rushing tide, like a flood. But now he's since ebbed. You know, that was his day to shine like a star, to get onto the field and win the game. But since then, he's sort of faded into the woodwork. Or he's like a firework on 4th of July that went up and sparkled and shined and blazed, but then he's sort of since fizzled. In other words, do we see the power at work today of the Holy Spirit actively in the world as we did then? A lot of people are tempted to say no because, well, if you look at the church today, do you see any supernatural tongues as of fire appearing on each one of you, flaming above your heads, becoming visible from the unseen realms? Is there a great rush of a mighty wind filling the church where we are right now and a great shaking of the building? Is anybody here speaking in languages that you didn't speak previously and have never studied fluently without any instruction saved by the Holy Spirit? You know, at first look, it might seem like as we celebrate Pentecost, yeah, that was a great day back then. Boy, was that awesome. Wish I were there. What a star the Holy Spirit was. But since then, it's kind of, he's been a little bit fizzled out and decreased in power. Is that really true? Let's take a look at that today and see about the Holy Spirit's activity and power and might in the world and in your lives, whether it be equal to that as much now as it ever was then. So, let's first answer that question. Let's take a look at first the Holy Spirit active on the day of Pentecost. Was he active? Was he powerful on that day long ago? We read here in Acts chapter 2. Now this is right after Jesus was raised from the dead. Remember, he was crucified on Passover when they celebrate the lamb that would die, the spotless lamb of God. The Jews celebrated that on Passover. Jesus is raised on the third day. He appears for how many days to the apostles alive? 40. What a coincidence. Then he goes up to God. We had talked about that last week. Ascended to God's right hand. And Pentecost appears 7 sevens later, 7 weeks later, 49 days later, on the 50th day. Hence, Pentecost, the Feast of the Jews, the ingathering of the fruits, that's what they celebrated. God is coming to gather the fruits, the first fruits in for his church, and let's read about it. How powerful was he? When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, the apostles. The disciples. And suddenly a sound came from heaven, like a rush of a mighty wind, and filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay, so far, how powerful? Is he off to a good start, what you say? That's pretty powerful, right? I mean, the sudden coming of this wind, it was a surprise from heaven. It was a mighty wind. You ever hear a tornado, or at least they say people have been in tornadoes, it sounds like a locomotive charging towards you, and superpower. Then this power, this sound, was not just outside, but that filled the inside of the room where they were, the rush of the mighty winds. And it was an inside power, and it filled them with the Holy Spirit. Then we get signs and wonders. Flaming fires just licking up, flickering over the people. They're speaking in other languages. This is an amazing good start. Wouldn't you say? Check plus, Holy Spirit, A plus, this is amazing. Then we read that, how many heard this verse? Are there sirens outside? Is that me thinking?
No, there's an echo going on.
An echo? That must be it. Must be a little quieter. All right. Acts chapter 2, we read then, how many people heard this sound? A great multitude. Jews from all over the ancient world came. And we have them hearing in their own languages the great works of God. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Galatia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? So, apparently they were good Lutherans back then, right? What does this mean? But others mocking said they're filled with new wine. So great job so far, Holy Spirit. I mean, this is powerful, sudden, mighty, shaking of the building, rush of a mighty wind, signs, wonders, miracles. I keep hearing things in the back. Is that the reverberation again?
Yeah.
Okay. Down? And collar. Okay. Let's try that one, see if that works a little bit. Okay. And then what happens next? Peter stands up and proclaims, these men aren't drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. And he begins to proclaim to them that Jesus died for their sins, was raised on the third day, was exalted and ascended to the right hand of God. And he calls them all, therefore, in Acts 2:36, to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you and to your children, to all that are far off, to everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he exhorted them, and they did, with many other words, exhorting them to save yourselves from this crooked generation, they preached. And 3,000 were saved that day and were baptized. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. So, as far as that day long ago, in ancient times, Pentecost of 2,000 years ago, powerful? Was the Holy Spirit active in mighty, powerful ways? Amen. What great fireworks. What a great flood came rushing in. But the question is he as active today in your life and in the world as he was back then? Are we just celebrating some spectacular event that took place back then, and that's all we're doing here today? Well, if you think about it, yes, first, that was a spectacular event back then. It was a one-time kind of event. I'm not expecting this room to be filled with a rush of a mighty wind today, physically, or to see visible flames of fire appearing over each of you on your heads. It came in like a rushing tide then, indeed, like fireworks with great power. Why did he do that with such signs and wonders? Well, it was fitting that the Holy Spirit would come that way, because this is the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised. This is his first appearance. It's fitting for him to come with great signs and wonders and a show of mighty strength. Also, this is the very first preaching of the gospel to the world after Jesus was raised from the dead. It's fitting that he comes in with sparkles and shines and a show of power, because he's confirming the word of the apostles, that these men are not just speaking out of their own air, but that God's power is behind it and their word is true. So it was a one-time event, a very powerful, mighty, active working of the Holy Spirit on that day. We acknowledge that, and I'm not expecting to see tongues as of fire pour over each one of you today, or the building to be shaken with the rush of a mighty wind. But now to this question, does that mean then that the Holy Spirit is not as active today and as powerful anymore? I mean, did he really come in like a rushing tide then, but he's since been ebbing and going out? Did he come in like a firework then as he kind of fizzled out? Did he come in with power and might, and now he's not really so powerful and mighty as he was? Boy, it should be cool to be back on Pentecost Day. Or is he as active today? Well, was that the first time, do you think, that the Holy Spirit acted in power in the world? What do you think?
Yeah.
I mean, that was an amazing day, but if you go back to the very beginning of the Bible, let's see how active he was. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, you know, and earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters. So, the Holy Spirit, friends, was right there, active long before Pentecost, doing what? Creating the world. God spoke, let there be light, and there was light, so that's Jesus Christ, the Word. God the Father was speaking, and it was in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had a part in creating the entire world, everything that exists. Seen and unseen. Powerful? Powerful. Then we see in Psalm 104, let's take a look at this one. Verse 27 says, the creatures all look to thee, God, to give them their food in due season. When thou givest it to them, they are gathered up. When thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good things, etc. When thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the ground. What did we learn there about the Holy Spirit? Before Pentecost, he not only created the world, but he's there sustaining the world. Everything. He's the breath of God. Everything that has life has it and has had it by the Holy Spirit, even the whole natural world. How about with men? How about with God's people? Exodus 13, verse 21. Let me read that one to you. Verse 21 says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud, to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. That's Israel in the Old Testament. And there's a fire. That's the Holy Spirit. That's leading them through the wilderness, guiding them, leading them to the promised land. Who was it that led them through the Red Sea? Isaiah 63, verses 11 and 13 say, where is he who put in the midst of them the Holy Spirit, who caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses, who divided the waters before them to make for himself an everlasting name, who led them through the depths. So picture yourselves in the Old Testament, walking through the midst of the sea, a wall of water on each side. Who led them through that? The Holy Spirit was there active, powerful, dividing the waters, leading them to salvation. We see the Holy Spirit came upon Gideon, and he blew the trumpet, and he went out for victory. The Holy Spirit came upon Samson and began to stir him up, and he got victory over the Philistines and delivered Israel. The Holy Spirit, when Samuel anointed David with oil, remember? We read the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him from that day, and he went out to slay the giant and strike down Goliath and deliver Israel. So the Holy Spirit, was he active? Was he powerful before Pentecost? Super powerful in the days leading up to it. Was he active in the days of Jesus in the New Testament? Well, we read that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee and began to work signs, wonders, miracles, healing people and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and setting people free. So he's active in Jesus' day. He was active certainly at Pentecost, like we saw just a moment ago, which we read in Acts chapter 2. Are we then to conclude that after all this activity, all this power, from before, from the start of creation, all the way through to Jesus, and at Pentecost, that after Pentecost is like, oh, I'm done. I've done my part. I was the star, and now I'm just going to fade into the woodwork, go out like an ebbing tide, and fizzle. Is that our faith today? Well, absolutely not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13. Why is that? Because he is God. He's the same every day. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He's God. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is the same yesterday and today and forever. So in your lives today, in our lives at this church, is he as active and as mighty and as powerful today for you as he was back on the day of Pentecost that we celebrate today? Yes, he is. But you might say, how so? For Pastor, I don't see a rush of unbiding wind in here. I would love to see that. Wouldn't you love supernatural signs and wonders like that? Oh, if the Holy Spirit came in here and your hair started flying around and there's a rush of unbiding winds. And we see actually literal supernatural signs becoming visible, like flames of fire over your heads. And May over here starts to speak in French or Papua New Guinean or something. And we're like, whoa, how did you learn that language? That would be amazing. And we'd consider that to be real power. Oh, if we only had a Pentecost today. But what are we missing? What's the problem here? The problem is the signs and wonders of the day of Pentecost long ago. They were fitting for that day, but it's the sinful weak flesh that we have that wants to be startled and surprised by such signs and wonders. The fireworks of the Holy Spirit dazzles the flesh, to be sure. And it was fitting to have fireworks on that day to confirm the words of the apostles that indeed they were true. But what are we missing? And are we missing at this point? Are we missing the point? Let's take a look. Where was the real power on the day of Pentecost? Was it in the rush of the mighty winds? Was it in its sudden appearance? Was it in the physical shaking of the building? Was it that it blew inside? Was it in flames? Was it in the speaking of tongues? There was power in these things, but was there any power in any of those that I just mentioned to save? What's the answer?
No.
None of those things saved anybody. There's no rushing of wind that saved anybody, no sudden appearance that saved anybody, no shaking of the building that saved anybody, no miracle or flames of fire or speaking in tongues that saved anybody on that day. So where was the real power of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost? I think about 1 Kings 19, the story of Elijah. Consider this. Elijah's running away, remember, from Jezebel to Mount Sinai, and there he came to a cave, Elijah did, and he lodged there. And then we read that God said to him, go forth and stand upon the mount of the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains. Does that sound like Pentecost? We read, and broken pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Then we read, and after that earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. Does that sound familiar like Pentecost? But the Lord wasn't in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And when Elijah heard, he wrapped his face in a mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave, and God spoke to him. So, on that day long ago, friends, where was the Lord to be found? Where was his power to be found when Elijah is on the mountain? Was it in the rush of a mighty wind? No, the Lord wasn't in the wind. Was it in the flashing of the fire? No, the Lord wasn't in the fire. Was it in the shaking of the rocks and the earthquake? No, the Lord wasn't in the shaking of the rocks and the earthquake. Where was the Lord and his power to be found with Elijah on that day? In the still, small voice that followed after it. Friends, where is the Holy Spirit's real power that we celebrate today? Be found on the day of Pentecost. The Lord's power was not seen really in the fire, or in the shaking of the building, or in the earthquake, if you will, or in a miracle. Where was it found? In the still, small voice that followed it. The voice of Peter and the apostles, of men. Men who spoke the words of God to the people. And notice, where was the power to save? It was in the Word. That's what had the power to bring people from death into life. It was the preaching of Jesus Christ to the people. Men of Galilee, and all of you whom the Lord has called to himself, hear this, that Jesus died for your sins on the cross. He rose again from the dead on the third day. God raised him up. The death was not able to hold him. He is now exalted at the right hand of God. Repent, therefore, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 people were saved that very day. So, where was the power back then? It was in the Word that came after all these signs and wonders. Where is the power to be found today? In the Word that came after all the signs and the wonders. We're going to talk about signs and wonders in the next couple of weeks. We love signs and wonders, but we're not looking for them. If God gives them, we'll rejoice in them. We're celebrating Pentecost signs and wonders today. But the power, the activity, the might of the Holy Spirit is not found really in those, but in the Word. Because fire can't save anybody. Wind can't save anybody. Shaking of buildings can't save anybody. Miracles, signs, wonders, whatever they may be, can't save anybody. Physically maybe, but not spiritually. It's only in the Word that came after the still small voice of people, human beings speaking the Word of God. That alone on that day had the power in it. That alone had the miraculous power to save souls. The straight, open preaching of Jesus Christ. That was the power of the Holy Spirit on that day to save. So, here we've gone back to our original question. I'll ask you again. Is the Holy Spirit as active today and as powerful as he was back then on the day of Pentecost? Yes. Answer, friends, yes, absolutely, amen. Why? Because he's still preaching Jesus Christ straight and clear. That still small voice that came after all those signs and wonders. Now, when we hear that, it doesn't seem so dazzling. Who am I, or what is any preacher? Just a jar of clay, an imperfect, kind of dirty little vessel into which God has poured into that jar of clay jewels, rubies, and emeralds of his Word to save. You know, when I think of myself, I'm sort of like an oyster. You're looking at an oyster shell. I don't always speak perfectly. You know, I'm just little me, but inside my lips is a pearl if I'm preaching Jesus Christ. The still small voice that comes afterwards. I see myself and all preachers sort of like a little black box which God brings. It doesn't look very fancy, but then God bends down and says, "Will you marry me?" Inside is the engagement ring with the power of God to bring you into Christ, to save your souls in Jesus Christ. And indeed, that was the Word that saved on that day. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And you'll be forgiven your sins. You'll have eternal life. You will be saved, and God will bless you with his own Holy Spirit. This is what we're celebrating today, and that power is as powerfully at work today as it always has been. Miracles, signs, and wonders, I believe, are still going on today, and we're going to talk about that maybe next week or the week after. But it's the preaching of the Word that we want to focus on. 3,000 were saved on the day of Pentecost long ago, and according to the World Christian Encyclopedia, 2.7 million people become Christians every year and are saved through the working of the Holy Spirit today. Back then, it was the rush of a mighty wind. Today, it's filling the earth and saving souls everywhere. And we see that afterwards, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. Where are you today? You're devoting yourselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. The Holy Spirit is active here, friends. He's just as forceful and mighty today, doing the same things with you today, as he did back then on the day of Pentecost. As he led the people through the Red Sea and divided the waters for them. He's led you through baptism, opened those waters, and you've gone right through into salvation in Jesus Christ. As a pillar of fire, by night, he led them through the wilderness, and a cloud by day, he's leading you. You know, his name in the Greek, Paraclete, his title that is, means he comes alongside you today. He is here to defend you. He's God's personal agent, his third person of the Trinity, to advocate for you, to lift you up when your heart is down, to give you help through life, to give you the victory, to ultimately seal you and bring you all the way through this world to the day of Christ, his return, and the glory of the kingdom. That's his job. In a word, he is your friend. He is as active and as powerful as your friend today as he ever was. And as for signs and wonders and miracles, he's going to do those things too in our lives. But that's not what we look to as Christians for our hope. It's in the power of the word preached, Jesus Christ. This is our hope as Christians. And what is that word? 1 Timothy 2, verse 4 sums up nicely. And hear it now. I'm getting to the conclusion. God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is only one God, and there is one Savior, the mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony to which was born at the proper time. And the Holy Spirit has preached to you, baptized you, gifted you faith through the preaching of the word, and has given you eternal life and salvation in Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. And so, we celebrate his great work back then, from the beginning of time, in Jesus, in the days of the apostles, and in our days, in your days, to the end of your life and the end of the world. The Holy Spirit bless you. The Holy Spirit keep you. The Holy Spirit lead you all the way to the day of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glory of the kingdom, and of the world to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, Is the Holy Spirit as Active Today as at Pentecost? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg LeSeer. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the old Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul. And God bless you.